This edition of Nation Talk is being brought to you by Scotiabank. Respecting your past, trusting your future. Think what we can achieve together. Hi, and welcome to another edition of Nation Talk. On today's show, we have Deputy Grand Chief Denise Stonefish of the Association of Iroquois and Allied Indians. The Deputy Grand Chief also holds the social portfolio for the Chiefs of Ontario. Since the release of the 2012 Ontario budget, Deputy Grand Chief has been very active in working on the social assistance cuts announced in this budget. Welcome to Nation Talk, Deputy Grand Chief.
Thank you, Andre, and a good afternoon to you.
The 2012 Ontario provincial budget announced funding cuts to social assistance. What are these cuts?
The main cut has to do with what they call the discretionary benefits, and that would have major and negative impacts to First Nations citizens who access social assistance.
Now, would this be a large number of people, single mothers, people such as this?
Yes, that would be one component of it, but, you know, it's for any individual who needs to access social assistance. But not only that, it also impacts the First Nations themselves because of funding that they may have to contribute to address the needs for these individuals.
So they're taking it away from some other needy cause as well.
Yes.
Okay, so the Ontario government, they already know how impoverished our First Nations are and how these funds are so vitally important, yet they still have pushed through these cuts.
I don't think they really know what's happening in First Nations communities. We've said for years, not just this particular ministry, but any other ministry that sits there and develops programs and services to be delivered in First Nations communities, they have no idea on what type of needs that our citizens require. We're always trying to fit their programs. For example, say their programs are the square box, and they're expecting us to implement our circular needs into that square box. But I think in this particular case, in dealing with the provincial governments, of course, then again, it's after the fact that they decided that they were going to make these cuts, and they didn't realize the major impacts that it would have in First Nations communities until we started saying, hey, you know, you don't know the dramatic effect and the impacts that these cuts are going to have in our communities. You didn't talk to us before you implemented. So as a result of that, and they freely admitted that, yes, we did not talk to you. But now, as a result of us bringing it to their attention, we're now sitting down together and jointly developing some sort of framework, some sort of policy based on our needs. Clearly, at the time, they didn't realize what we were using some of the funding for. And, you know, we've had our back and forths about what was health-related and what wasn't. You know, they felt that Hydro wasn't a health-related benefit. Whereas, you know, if we can't pay the Hydro, our homes don't get heated, people will get sick, which would lead to other factors or other health-related problems. So to us, Hydro is health-related.
Well, it seems very short-sighted to not think in that manner. Now, was it implemented, and were you not able to have them postpone or stop the legislation? How did that work?
Yes, after talking with, you know, some of the ministry reps and stuff, and especially in our conversations with the Chiefs Committee on Social, some of the other First Nation chiefs who were part of that meeting, we actually had an opportunity to sit down with Minister Wynn, who's the Minister for Aboriginal Affairs and Municipal Housing. It was through her that we were able to get Minister Malloy to in the Ontario Cabinet to provide us temporary relief. So that portion of the legislation will not be implemented until April 1st, 2013. But in the meantime, we have that time until January of 2013 to come up with some sort of alternative, some sort of viable solution that they can look at. And they seem to be very broad and flexible in working with us, which I think, personally, in all my years of being in Native politics, is pretty close to being a first in working specifically with government officials.
Well, that's a great compliment to them. And so if I was a First Nations individual on social assistance, the check that I receive is not going to change?
Not right now, not until 2013.
You know, you mentioned two program areas that will highly impact First Nations and the First Nations citizens on Ontario Works. What are the two Ontario Works programs and how will they impact?
The two programs are what discretionary benefits, the non-health related discretionary benefits, and the community startup and maintenance benefit program. But as a result of, and that particular one has to do with the province's new homelessness strategy. And when we were meeting with the ministry officials, we felt that, or I should say the First Nations technicians, felt that homelessness had a negative connotation, especially in First Nations communities, because homelessness is not the same in First Nations communities as you would perceive homelessness in urban areas. I mean, we don't have people sleeping on streets in our communities. Our communities have two or three families living in one household. I mean, if you were to only limit one family per household, then you have two families that have to be somewhere. And I guess in First Nations communities, we don't put them out to the side of the road, and so we all live together.
So basically what we're talking about really is homelessness, because they don't have the home that they should have.
Yes.
What has been done to stop these cuts? I mean, we've talked about, were there other things that you were able to do that, or things that need to be done to stop these cuts?
Well, throughout that time, I guess even before we met with the ministers, with the minister, First Nations themselves and some of the First Nations organizations had rallies. There was a rally that was held outside of the provincial parliament buildings here in Toronto. So there was a lot of work that was done to bring this to the forefront. And as a result of that, and like I said earlier, that, you know, it provided us an opportunity to really sit down with these ministry officials. As part of that, as a result of that, we were able to establish a working group with some of our First Nations technicians, some of our political reps, and the ministry. And so we're both, I guess all three groups are working together to come up with some sort of viable solution.
So I guess what are the next steps for First Nations? Is this the next step, working with this group, or are there other next steps?
Well, I think that this is just the beginning. You know, we realize that this just isn't the only government that's putting out cuts to programs and services and stuff. We are now even faced with the federal government doing financial cutbacks to organizations and to First Nations communities. And so I think what we need to do is we have to start looking at what are going to be our next steps. I think we have to look a little further down the road and realizing that, you know, this is a possibility that it's not going to stop. I mean, no matter how many times we try and talk about the treaty relationship, it's very clear that the federal government isn't going to pursue that avenue because, you know, it has it would restrict them in their ability to use the land resources that are in First Nations traditional territories. So I think, you know, we're going to be facing more and more cuts as we go along. And, you know, it's terrible. I believe it's terrible that we are the only ethnic group that's legislated and, you know, how the government is going to deal with us. I think they got it all wrong. You know, we always say that when the settlers first came over, that we opened up the doors to share. And, you know, we helped them out. And you know, in terms of what our people have experienced over the last few hundred years, certainly does not project the sharing and working together concept.
Nor reflect much goodwill.
No, no.
Now, this is very fascinating, but as the social portfolio holder for the Chiefs of Ontario, you know, we see what's happening on the provincial level. We see what's happening on the federal level. You fully understand the hurt that's out there from a social perspective. How does that make you feel?
Well, it makes me feel angry, you know, because you have a lot of young people out there who are hurting. I mean, let's face it, First Nations communities don't have the economic base, and we can't supply all the jobs to our citizens right now. And we do lose a lot of our young people. I mean, yes, we promote education, and we tell them they've got to get their college and their university degrees. And if you can't get that, at least try and get your high school education. But the thing about that is we don't have the infrastructure and the institutions to retain that knowledge within our communities. And so we can't give them a job, so they leave. Some of them leave. Others, unfortunately, they can't. And that's where you see this social assistance in the communities. And you can see the frustrations that our young people have. And, you know, I'm not saying as to, you know, what's causing the large degree of suicides that are happening, but I think that's part of it. The lack of economic activities in the community contributes to that.
Well, on that very solemn note, I just want to say Chi-Miigwech to you, Deputy Grand Chief Denise Stonefish of the Association of Iroquois and Allied Indians. Thank you so much for coming on Nation Talk today to discuss these social cuts with us.
Thank you, Andre. Wish I had better news.
Chi-Miigwech. This edition of Nation Talk has been brought to you by Scotiabank. Respecting your past, trusting your future. Think what we can achieve together.